All right. Well, let's try to get in another call. We've got Brian in Massachusetts. You're on late night in the middle. A lot of Brian's tonight.
Hey, how you doing, Judy Wood? How you doing? It's an honor to talk to you.
Hi, Brian.
I just have a few questions for you. I've gone down a lot of the 9/11 rabbit trails, and there's just so many conspiracy theories to follow and stuff. And I actually, there was a phone call that I heard from Jesse Ventura actually talking very highly of your book, and I decided to look at some of your stuff. I have a few questions about some of the things that, you know, a lot of your work is, all those cars that are, you know, blowing up outside the World Trade Center. A lot of those cars to me, I don't see how an energy weapon does that. Those cars look like they came straight from the junkyard. Like, they don't have any license plates on them or anything like that. I mean, are we sure these are legit images that we're looking at? What we're seeing with these cars blown up aren't really, you know, legit images. And you're basing this off of that.
I call them toasty cars, not blown up cars. Toasted cars, toast, your history. You can't fix it. You got to get another one. You know, you can't repair it, but it's toast. I'm not defining what exactly happened to it. Whether, you know, it's not a conventional fire, and it didn't explode. You know, lit up, but I've got, pictures of, the car before, during, and after it's been toasted. That one car, I didn't see the before picture until later on. I thought it was a white car. Uh-oh, it's a black car beforehand. The sea of unburned paper between these cars and the WTC complex. The paper didn't catch fire, but the car just kind of lit up in spontaneous combustion. The apparent spontaneous combustion.
Right. And we lost Brian. I just want to make Brian, let Brian know if you want to get that other question, then you can call back in. I'll put you back on. I don't know what happened, man.
The connection seemed like it was dropping in and out, so it's the bandwidth problem or something.
Okay. So, basically, you know, people have said, you hear all different kinds of stories. The cars blew up and this and that, but they didn't actually blow up. I mean, the gas tanks were intact, correct?
Yeah, and that's another thing that makes it different from regular car fires. Car fires, you see a missing, lid for the gas tank, and, looks like it's blown out. But these, the gas tank lid is still in place and pristine, on the back of the police car, looks like it has a new wax job on it. There's plenty of people who have opinions. There's lots of opinions. But it doesn't come with discussing, particular piece of evidence. There's also people don't like the result, don't like the conclusion, and want to make up a new conclusion or something, and because they mostly maybe can't handle this. So they're trying to find every explanation they can think of. And my brother was that way for a while. He's trying to find every impossible explanation to the point of, suddenly eating pigeon poop on the cars a half mile away. They're really, really trying hard. Like, okay, how do you ignite it? Oh, maybe a guy came by with a cigar and...
Yeah. We got Brian back. So, Brian, I'm going to bring you back on. Okay,
I'm sorry about that. I had a lot of issues.
Okay.
I had a few questions. Like, why if they use this high-tech, weaponry, this directed energy, why is it would totally obliterate all the contents inside the building, except for, paper? Like, what is it about paper that makes it so it doesn't get destroyed? I know that might sound like an odd question, but, what's the significance that it wouldn't destroy all that paper that we saw flying through the air?
Let's look at some differences we have with paper and other things. Paper isn't very conductive. Paper is usually flying around and isn't easy to contact in something as much either.
But I mean, people all stored in file cabinets inside the towers when they first got hit and got dustified or whatever?
But if a file cabinet kind of got, tossed about, the stuff's going to come out of it.
Huh.
I'm just, you know, looking at, you know, possibilities. That paper seems to be kind of free-floating. And it could be conductive. Like, you can put a paper towel, in, as long as it's dry, you can put a paper towel in your microwave oven, it doesn't heat up.
Okay. Now, in your opinion, I mean, how many buildings exactly were specified on that day, on 9/11? How many World Trade Center buildings were?
This is an opinion. This is, I go by evidence. And there were 7 buildings destroyed that day. And there was an 8th one that was infected, and they repaired it. And then they realized it still had a problem, so they ended up taking it apart, taking it back down. That's Banker's Trust. You know, they repaired Banker's Trust, and then they decided to dismantle it.
So, do you think that this weapon is so powerful that it could actually justify not only these 2 huge skyscrapers, and as we know, there were other World Trade Center complex buildings that, I mean, a lot of people don't even know about. A lot of people know about 1, 2, and 7, but I mean, there was 4, 5, 6. I mean, there was a bunch of buildings that got destroyed by that day. Obviously, it wasn't 2 airplanes that took it out. I mean, obviously. I mean, that's just a preposterous tale. But do you think that, you know, that's why there's no remains? There's no remains because everything just got totally inside the building. Like, how strong is this weapon to be able to do that? I would think that there would need to be, you know, just multiple. I don't want to say lasers, because I know that's not the term you use. You use, like, directed energy. I would think there would need to be,
hundreds of these
weapons.
This is not a line of
at once. Yep.
Yeah, this isn't a line of sight type of directed energy weapon. This isn't like lasers, lasers, and that type of thing. This is field interference of field effects. It's defined as to what, you know, area it's going to be affecting. So it's very.
No, I know what you mean. It doesn't have to have a direct line like anything on the tower, but even with, like, you know, intersecting energy fields or whatever it would do, wouldn't it take the power of just, like, so many of these weapons to take those buildings down like that?
I'm looking at the evidence. I don't look at the conclusion to look backwards. I'm looking at the evidence to see what happened. The empirical evidence shows that the towers were turned to dust. And, you know, there's this common argument that people would come up with saying, well, no weapon could be that powerful. So what? Do you think the towers are still there? Yeah, like there's this Greg Jenkins, gimmick. He has to make assumptions in order to calculate how much energy would be required. But the free energy device, hey, it gives energy. It doesn't take and use energy. But you know, if you think it took 5 times the Earth's total output of energy. And, well, then, tell me if the towers are still there, then. Or is he saying that the energy came from outer space, or what? But in order to calculate how much energy would be required, you're making assumptions. You're speculating on what the mechanism was. I'm not speculating. I am just stating empirical evidence. The towers turned to dust. We don't need to know how it happened in order to determine that it did happen.
Okay.
You follow?
Yeah, Brian, thank you for your call. I hope that helps, but we're getting low on time, and I want to try to get a couple more in. So we got Matthew in Wisconsin. You're on Late Night in the Midlands, Matthew.
Hi, Judy. It's Matt from Milwaukee here in Wisconsin. Judy, I wanted you to talk about where those, all that steel beams, where they, what happened to them, because you have some great pictures in your book that show where WTC-1 was, right? And, you know, we always hear the stories about, oh, they shipped them off to China, but, you know, you can't see the beams. You see a lot of the aluminum cladding laying around, and when you see the explosion or whatever it was, the dust explosion that went off at the top of the building, you see all these little objects outside the dust explosion. And to me, is that some of the aluminum cladding that was seen laying all over the ground? Because I see some great pictures of where WTC-1 was, and there's nothing there. And you can see Building 7 in the background, So you know the picture was taken that day. Could you give me a little bit of information about that?
Right. The particular picture you're talking about, there's, well, a couple of them that were taken. One's it's from West Street, just south of the Liberty Street intersection, right about there, and it's looking at Building 7 that's still steaming away. And to the right, you should see two other buildings, two big towers. And actually, you have a tower blocking your view of Building 7. But you see nothing, essentially, down ground level. And there's the ambulance picture where the ambulance is parked in front of Tower 1. The ambulance is still there, but Tower 1's gone. The ambulance is still parked on the street. And it looks like it's in essentially good condition. The door may have gotten bent open a little bit too far, but it didn't get clobbered with any steel, no dents in it, you can see. And you know, cladding off the ground. And you see some I call meat checks. The outer prefab units that built the outer wall were three columns wide, three stories tall, and they look like the meat check cereal. And one photographer called meat checks, and I thought that was a good term. And you see these stabbed in the street. And a few here and there. There were some around, but nowhere near what there should have been. It should look like a, remember the, in childhood you had this game, pick up sticks. Now they're right. Stacked neatly, but when you toss them, they land haphazardly and look like a big pile of, not spaghetti noodles because they're straight, but, you know, much pickup sticks. And it should have looked more like that or something even more dramatic. The ones you did see were so late. If they buckled from overload, why don't you see any bent over beams? You don't see any, you know, pink beams from buckling. They're all straight.
And how high, you know, if 110 stories of those steel beams, all interconnected steel beams, had fallen and hit the ground, how high would that have been observable if it was like, say, it was a controlled demolition using conventional explosives? I mean, how many stories high would that be if that was the case where we would see that? Because I don't see anything that looks over three stories or little sections that might be no more than three stories high at the most.
Right, because the lobby was three stories. There are two stories, two or three stories, where you have those big, tall arches at the ground level. And you can, that's a good measure to show how high that is. And you see, through many wheat checks that are still standing, you can see, you know, the lobby level. And not much above that. But, you know, the typical rule of thumb would have said, like, 12 and a half or 13 stories, and that's of an empty building that was taken down. This wasn't an empty building. So you have a whole bunch more stuff. You know, desks, computers, toilets, you know, file cabinets, stuff. And so I'm guessing you have at least 15 or 20 stores, maybe even more. You know, so
wow.
25, maybe 30.
Right. It's just amazing. Okay. I think that those pictures themselves tell the story of that the stuff is gone. It really did testify. Otherwise, it would be laying there. So I want to thank you, Judy. I've read your book twice already, and I appreciate all the work you've done. And you're a great researcher, and you're totally qualified for this. And I don't think, and I hear a lot of people on the internet knock you down and everything, call you disinfo and all that. And I think they're just totally off base with that, and they need to really read your book.
Nice.
No one has refuted anything in the book.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for the call, Matthew. I appreciate it. And we're going to get in one more real quick. You've got just a couple minutes. Mark in Dallas, Texas, are on Late Night in the Midlands.
Yeah, good evening, and good evening, Dr. Judy Wood there. I got a quick question.
Hey, Mark.
With your, looking on your site, you show a picture of a New York City ambulance, okay, that was burned up. And in the side of it appeared to be some type of soda can.